We're going to begin a short series. It's liable to be a series. I don't know. Just seems see how it goes as we get along. We're going to entitle this series Backsliding. And today what we're going to do is we're going to look at seven marks of a backslider. Seven marks of a backslider. And I must say that if sometimes people can be backslidden, I believe, and not realize it, don't see it. Everybody else sees it, but this person, just for some reason or the other, don't see it. And sometimes when you do a message like this and you start showing the marks of it, you look and you say, well, I have that mark and that mark. There's something wrong. There's something wrong. So we're going to talk with seven marks of a backslider. We're also going to look at some of the causes of backslider. What causes people? Why can someone go from being close to the Lord to being so distant away from the Lord? You know, that's what the process of backsliding does. What causes that? I mean, is it something that happens all at once, or does it something happens over a period of time? We're going to look at that too. And then I want to look at the dangers of it. I think a backslidden Christian's on dangerous ground. I really do. So we're going to look at that too. So I don't know how many messages. I don't know, it might just be one. I don't know. But that's what we're going to do in this particular text. So look at yourself. We want to begin. You know, I guess we're going to bring another message later, the three sins of organized religion, based on look at Matthew 23. One of the sins of organized religion is people just show up for church. Just a show up and a show, but there's no worship. And that was a problem back in the days of Christ in Matthew 23. It's just a show up. You know, hurry up and get this thing done so we can get out of here and go to dinner or whatever. And it gets to be pretty much what a church service is. And I want the Lord to be here today in His service. I want the Lord to be here, and I want you to worship. So I want you, and that's a lot of times one of the problems. We're going to look at that. That's another message. I got enough messages to last the rest of the year, Lord willing, if the Lord lets me live. But let's look at some of the meanings of backsliding. What do we mean by backsliding? And I'm going to give it a few definitions of it, and I think this is the main one. I think the main definition is to turn away from God in one's heart. Turn away from God in one's heart. It's in here. See, when you think of backsliding, you always think of something outside. It is outside. That's the effect of it. But backsliding happens in here. It's a heart problem. It's a problem in here. And it means to turn away from God in one's heart. And you can do that and look good on the outside for a while and go through the motions for a while, but eventually you'll see the effect when someone turns away from God here. That's where it happens at. You see, you had a thirst for God and turned to God the day you were saved. But then when you turn away from God in your heart, and over a period of time, you'll see the effect. It'll show these symptoms that I'm going to share with you today. King Solomon did that. You'll look here in 1 Kings chapter 11. This is part of the definition. Verse 4 said, it came to pass when Solomon was old. Solomon was a good Christian man all of his life. And it's a shame that he faded so bad when he got old. When he was old, he faded away from the Lord. And it says, and his wives turned away turning away his heart away from the Lord. Does everybody see that? He turned his heart away from the Lord. And I think that's what backsliding is a turning away from God in your heart. If you'll look in the text, it said Solomon built a high place for Chemosh, the abomination of Moab, and it talks about all the idols that King Solomon, who loved the Lord, talked about all the idols he made there in Israel. You think, how could he do that? How did Solomon, who God blessed with wisdom to lead his people, how did Solomon end up in such a situation that he was literally given the command to build idols in Israel for false gods? How did he get in such a shape? It happened here first. You see, that, Eddie, is just merely the effect. His heart turned away from the Lord. And that's what happens, and I think that is the ultimate definition to being backslidden, is your heart turns away from the Lord. It turns more on to the things of the world, more fleshy things, more, you know, worldly things. That's what happens to it. But it turns away from God. See, that's what it is. Another definition can be to leave your first love. One of the one of the condemnations of the church of Ephesus in Ephesians chapter 2, or I'm sorry, in the Revelations chapter 2, was that they were doing a lot of good things there as a church. But he said, I got something against you because you've left your first love. I'm going to tell you something today. If you're here today and you've been redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ, your first love is Jesus. It must be your first love. He didn't save you to play second fiddle to anybody or to anything. And when you leave your first love is when you begin to put other things ahead of Him. When your priority list in your life, and everybody has one, when Jesus is about number 6 on your priority list, then you have left your first love. And you're backslidden. That's another one of the definitions of backslidden. Not only to turn away from Him in your heart, but is to put Him so far down in your priority list that He's no longer number 1 first with you. Chastity sang the song, He's all I what? He's all I need. And when you're right with the Lord and close to the Lord, that's just how you feel. That's what King David said in Psalms 23. The Lord is my shepherd. Then what did he say? No one. Shepherd satisfied him. That's why he was all he needed. It's how you feel when you're close to the Lord. But when you're distant away from the Lord, you begin to put other things ahead of him. Your priority list, Jesus is here. And everything else over top of him is an idol, whatever it might be. Oh, I'm telling you today, in the United States of America and churches all across this land, Jesus is down here and everything else falls over. People just show up for another service and go home unchanged and unworshipped and not closer to God than when they come in. You say, well, that's just the preacher's fault. I doubt that. You get a man that prepares for a message and prays and prepares and brings the Word of God. And you come in to worship, the Lord will bless you. So not only is it to turn away one's heart away from the Lord, but it's also to leave your first love. And Jesus is your first love. He has to be tops. Everything else has to fall second. And when a person leaves their first love, you see it in their lives. Number 3, here's the last definition. Then I can move on to the 7 marks. To lose one's thirst for God. That's what's happened today, and that's what happens to people. To lose one's thirst. To lose one's thirst for God. I'm going to preach this message at Ironton. Not this message, but a message on thirsting for God. When I go down and preach at Jeremy's church in April. Probably preach it at the revival up in the mountains too. I'm going to be holding, Lord willing. I think it's a great problem today with people. I think what churches are, let me tell you what the modern church is doing. They're trying to deal with an effect, or instead of reaching down and getting at the cause. Here's what churches are doing. They're shoving out the Word of God. Let me tell you what they're doing. They're shoving out the Word of God. They're pushing that completely out now. A lot of them's going to one service a week. What they're doing. They've cut out some services and they're doing all these things. It's in the high octane entertainment in order to bring people in. And you know why people don't come? Let me tell you why people don't come. They've lost their thirst for God. They're not thirsty. You know why I come to church and read my Bible and pray? I'm thirsty. I crave. Listen to me. I crave fellowship with God. Crave that. When I don't get that, I'm missing something. When you know why people don't come to church? Let me tell you why people don't come to church. They don't come to church because they lost their thirst for God. When you lose your thirst for God, you don't want to come. And there's always a convenient excuse to cover up that reason why you don't. Bottom line reason, there's no thirst there. And if there's no thirst there, you need to pray that be rekindled in you again. 3 definitions of backslidden. Oh, have you lost your thirst for God? Do you crave Him? Do you crave His presence? I'm just asking you. I mean, just you and God say this morning. Have you lost your thirst for God? You ever see someone when they're first saved and baptized here? Watch them. They're thirsty. They'll come and say, Pastor, I can't wait till Wednesday. I can't wait till Sunday morning. I can't wait till Sunday night. Oh, let's get it. You can preach to 12:30, 1 o'clock. We don't care. They have a thirst. What happens to it? Where does it go? And the next thing you know, it's miss this service and miss that service. And it just spirals downhill. Does everybody see what I'm talking about? What happened? They lost their thirst. They left their first love. Their heart is turning away from God. And that's what backsliding is. It's not talking about losing your salvation. I'm not talking about that. It's not what this message is about. It's talking about people that have drifted away from your God. All right, that's the definition. That seemed like a good definition for you. You write that down. I think that pretty well describes it. Now I'm going to give you the symptoms. If you got the symptoms, then that means you're sick, doesn't it? When I feel like I'm getting sick, I'll go to the doctor and he looks at me and I tell him what's wrong and I give him, you know what he does? He looks at your symptoms. If you have any, if you have one of these symptoms, then you're backslidden. And you need to repent and come back to the Lord. You do. All right, you ready? You write these down. Number one, but being backslidden, here's first symptom number one, is a withdrawal from Christian fellowship. A withdrawal from Christian fellowship. When someone becomes backslidden, they withdraw from other Christians. They don't want to be around them. They really don't. They will withdraw. They become reclusive. They don't want to be around other Christians. That's one. Now, when you're close to the Lord, you want to be around them. But when you're not close to the Lord, and one of the signs of, is that you will recluse away, become a loner. Don't want to be around none of them people, you know. Isolate yourself, withdraw, and all these type things. In our men's fellowship, I asked a couple of our men who were backslidden and then had repented and come back to the Lord to share their testimony. That's why I told them beforehand. I said, now, I know you was backslidden. I want you to come in and tell the men some of the causes and what you did. And I listened to them when they said, you know what, the two men that I had share their testimony on that, so you know what both of them said? They withdrawed. They didn't want to be around. And you know what hurt my feelings? It didn't hurt my feelings, but I expected it. They didn't want to be around me. One of them said, if they seen me coming, they went the other way. You know why they said that? They told me why they did. Why they said that? They said, we knew that you would see it. Like staying away from me wasn't it like banging a drum and saying, I'm backslidden. But both those men, it took a lot of courage. Don't y'all agree it took a lot of courage for them to share that next door? It helped all the rest of us. But that's what you'll do. They'll withdraw. They'll seek to get away. Don't want fellowship with nobody. You know, when you're in sin, you do withdraw. What did Adam do after he sinned? He hid himself. He withdrew. Withdrawal is one of the symptoms. Withdrawal from Christian fellowship, because when you're right with God, you want Christian fellowship. Number two. I've done touched on this, and so we won't spend a lot of time on that. There will be a forsaking of God's house. And I'm going to tell you, it always has been, and it always will be, a sign that there's something wrong when God's people forsake God's house. I think it always is a telltale sign that there's something wrong when God's people forsake God's house. Oh, folks, I said that's what the modern church has done, is pushed the word out and try to cover that lack of thirst for God's house. What they've done is trying to give people a reason to come. Entertainment, giveaways, 10-minute little sermonettes, and then 65 hours worth of singing. And what they need to do, folks, is they need to take them people that are spiritually starving and hydrate them with the Word of God. They need hydrated. They're spiritually dehydrated. Need hydrated. And only the Word of God can do that. Forsaking of God's house. That's a sign of being backslidden, because when you're right with God, you want to be there. I know that. I've been backslidden. When I was backslidden, I didn't want to come to church. I didn't want to come. And I didn't come. Well, I did come. I had to come. My dad was a Baptist deacon. He made me come. But if I had my druthers, I would have rather stayed home. Didn't have no thirst. Didn't have no desire to come. There was something wrong with the preacher? No, there was something bad wrong with me. Something bad wrong with me. I wasn't right with the Lord. I wasn't close to Him. I was spiritually dehydrated. When you're backslidden, when you come to church, folks, all it is a show-up anyway. It's a show-up to save face. It's a show-up to save face. And it's just a going through the motion with no participation in the worship service whatsoever. And you can see it from where I stand all the time. That's why the pulpits are elevated. You can see it many times. Hard preaching, that type of situation, we'll be honest with you. So there will be a forsaking of the house of the Lord whenever someone is backslidden. When you're right with, I noticed that I rededicated my life to the Lord when I was 16. And it was odd. It's like a light went on with Him. And one of the things that I noticed is I didn't have to be made to come to church. I just noticed that. I thought that was odd. Dad didn't have to say, get in there and get ready for church. I was ready to go. I couldn't wait till the next service. Wednesday, Sunday morning, Sunday school. Anytime the word was preached, I wanted to be there. Why was it? What changed? What changed for me? Well, I was back in fellowship with the Lord, see. And one of the signs of being in fellowship is you desire His house. There's a thirst for it. But when you're backslidden, you let the house of God go. Just let it go. You put everything in the world ahead of it. And that's a sign of being backslidden. Number three, no devotions. No devotions. Do you have a daily devotion? For crying out loud, do you give 5 minutes to the Lord a day? 5 minutes? Those of you that are born again and trusted the blood, those that have a home in heaven, those that have been redeemed by the blood, do you give Him 5 minutes of your time a day? If I could ask you to stand, and I'm not going to, believe me, I'm not going to. But if I asked you that if you could say, I don't give Him 5 minutes a day in my life, how in the world can you expect to be close to somebody if you never spend I'm not close to God no more. How can you expect to be close to somebody you don't spend no time with? Told you many times before in the past that I got boys that I went to high school with that I was real close to in high school. Man, we was closest. We spent a lot of time together. We talked. We went places. We stayed all night with one another. Went fishing together. Whatever. After I got out of school, quit hanging out and quit talking. And we're not close. We're friends, but we're not close. You see the difference? Why is that? No time. I feel convinced. In order to be close to God, you have to have a daily devotion time with Him. I don't think you can be close to the Lord and spend 5 minutes with the Lord every day and 4 hours in front of a television set. And I think that's what we have. And I think that's why we've got the word, Christianity as a whole in our name. I think that's why we're where we're at. All these worldly shows and things that we pump in our mind is affecting us more than the Word of God is. No devotions. You have to have a devotion time where you pray. Where you pray and let God talk to you through His Word. Yeah, I read Psalms 1. Let's look at Psalms 1 real quick. I'm going to preach quick. I just want this to be short, quick, and strong. But I don't want it to be a show-up. I just pray the Holy Spirit use it to change lives. No devotions. Notice Psalms chapter 1. Verse 1 and 2 says, blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. Look at verse 2. His delight is the law of God, the word of God. And in His Word doth he meditate, what's it say? Day and night. Oh my, do you have a devotion with God? Contact with the Lord. Contact with the Lord is a must for fruitfulness. Do you agree? When you break your contact with Christ and you don't get a daily devotion to where you spend time in His Word and in prayer, my friend, you will grow distant away from God. If you distance yourself from the Word of God, communication with God through prayer, the house of God, you distance yourself from all those things, folks, you are going to be and are already backslidden. And you're in a bad shape, because if you continue that way, you could fall into some pretty gross sin too. Do you have a devotion? Mark 1 says Jesus rose up yet a great while before it was day and went to a solitary place so he could pray. How is it that people that are redeemed by the blood don't want to spend no time with the Redeemer? How in the world are you going to enjoy heaven if you don't want to spend no time with Him now? And if you don't have no devotions and you have forsaken habitually God's house, and if you've withdrawn from all Christian fellowship, then you're backslidden. It's the signs of it. And Satan wants you to be in that type of position, because you're easy to fall, really, when you get in that shape. Number four, it's going to be quick. No spiritual sensitivity. You know, when you get backslidden, you know, when you're close to the Lord, listen, when you're close to the Lord, you got a tender conscience. Conscience is tender. Everything bothers you. And when you do something, or you might watch something that it bothers you. You're sensitive. Spiritual sensitivity. Oh, folks, when you get backslidden, you start picking back up old habits that you dropped. And things that bothered you before don't bother you at all. You're not sensitive no more to spiritual things, because you can grow. If you like fellowship with God and devote and Christian fellowship and worshiping when you come to God, if you lack those things, then what happens is you can grow calloused. Calloused and cold. Two C's, write them both down. Calloused and cold. I've used the illustration before, and some of you have experienced it because you came and told me about it. You can come to church all the time, and then you miss that one time. You know what it does to you? Where your conscience is sensitive, it bothers you. Oh, it hurts your heart. Oh, you know, I'm not talking about when you're sick or six foot of snow out or whatever. I don't have to say that, do I? I'm talking about when you can be here and you know you don't want to be. Okay? You can hear the church bell, and oh my, your heart's broken. I chose to stay home instead of go to God's house, and it hurts you. But you can continue to do that same thing over and over again to where it doesn't bother you at all. You lose your sensitivity spiritually. I thought of a good example, I'll give it to you, of this same subject. Remember King David, when he was before he was actually reigning as king, remember how tenderhearted his conscience was? You remember he was in a cave one time, and he reached out and just cut. Saul was trying to kill him. And he had the opportunity to kill Saul, but he wouldn't do it. He just reached out and cut a piece of his robe off. Remember? Oh, and it says when he did that, it says his heart slew him. And he felt like he had dishonored the king, and he was so sensitive. But you know, I can show you a later time in his life when he sinned against the Lord, and God sent a man to confront him with his sin, and he told him a little story that depicted the exact sin that he did, and he was so calloused and cold. He said, "The man that done this thing in my kingdom will surely be." He didn't even see he was talking about him, and to where Nathan had to say, "You're the guy." He had to point it. "You're the man. You're the man." He got that callous and that cold that he couldn't see that it was him. Coming that way, losing your spiritual sensitivity. start watching things you'd have never watched before. You start talking ways you never talked before. You start looking at things you never looked at before. But the difference is now there's no fight to it. There's no bother to it. The distinguishing mark of saving faith, let me read this to you, is not perfection. The mark of faith is not that I never sin. The mark of faith is that I fight. I fight anything that dims my sight of Jesus as my glorious Savior. I fight anything that diminishes the fullness of the Lordship of Jesus in my life. I fight anything that threatens to replace Jesus as the supreme treasure of my life. Anything that stands between me and receiving Jesus. Faith fights not with fists or knives or guns or bombs, but with the truth of Christ. Do you even got a fight left in you? You know what I mean? Got a fight left in you with the flesh? When you get backslidden, there's not much of a fight there. You just cave in to all those things that you wouldn't have caved in to before. Loss of sensitivity. Loss of joy is the next one. What number is that? Five? Loss of joy. Imagine that. I'm not happy today. Can you say that? Don't say it out loud, please. I'm not happy today. I come to the church service not happy. I'm not talking about me. Can you say that? I come in here miserable today and I'm happy. Not in every case, but in most cases when people are unhappy, loss of joy. One reason for that sometimes is because they lack fellowship with the Lord. King David said in Psalms 51, Lord, restore unto me what? The joy of thy salvation. He lost not the salvation, they lost the joy of it. You know what determines you being happy is how close you are to the Lord. Folks, I've seen a lot in 26 years. I've seen people on deathbeds with joy because they were close to the Lord. I've seen that. I've seen people in terrible shapes with joy because they were close to the Lord. Because, listen to me, that's what determines your joy, Timmy, is how close you are to God. If you're a born-again child of God, there is nothing that will satisfy the longing of your soul like fellowship with Jesus Christ. Nothing will do it. And nothing this side of heaven will replace that if you're not getting that. I was witnessing to a man one time, and he was always wanting more money. He just lived for it. It just took over his life. It was sad. Now, listen to what I'm saying. When I was talking to him, he made about three times as much money as he made back here when he served the Lord. About three times. Well, no comparison money-wise. Position. Had it all. But you know what? That was the most miserable man I ever met. He was miserable. Nothing made him happy. Like Papa, you say you could hung him with a new rope and he wouldn't have been satisfied. I looked at him and he was miserable. He's a miserable, miserable. His talk changed. His disposition changed. Everything changed about him. He was like a different person. And I probably ought not done it. And I said, you know something? You was a whole lot happier when you made $6 an hour than you are right now. Not that that's a wonderful wage for anyone to make. I'm not saying that. But when he was there, he was close to the Lord. He's happy. Want to be happy? If you want to be happy, you need to get close to Christ. That's the only place you're going to find that. You won't find it in this world. The Bible says rejoice in the Lord sometimes. Always. Key to joy is how close you are to the King. If you're not close to the King, you're not going to be happy. And you won't be happy. Listen, if you're born again, You say, well, Jeff, if I had a different job, I'd be happier. If I had a better car, I'd be happier. If I had a nicer home, I'd be happier. If you changed my circumstances, I'd be happier. I don't care what you do. If you're not close to Jesus Christ, a change of circumstances is not going to make you happy. A different job or not nothing. Loss of joy is evidence that you're backslidden. You know, I never forget, after I repented of my backslidden condition, and I come in repentance to the Lord to restore my fellowship with Him, the joy was unreal. It was unreal. I was so happy. So happy. That's what determines it. Not earthly thing. I don't know why people think that they can drink from the fountain of living water and then run to the broken cisterns of the world to find joy. You'll find them there. Loss of joy is an evidence. Number six. We haven't talked about this one, but I'll say it again. Placing of the world over the things of God. Placing of the world over the things of God is a sign of being backslidden. I hear a lot of things over the years. I just changed the wording a little bit. Well, fishing season's over, I'm back in church. Or hunting season's over, I'm back in church. Or this season's over, I'm back in church. Don't tell me that. I can't stand that. Hunting, fishing, sports, nothing's any more important than Jesus Christ. And you're teaching a lesson every time you make a statement like that in front of your children. That those things is more important than Him. And there ain't nothing this side of glory any more important than Jesus Christ. Every one of you have a priority list. And when you place the things of the world over the things of God, you know, if you ever ask somebody why they don't come to church, there's always something there that's over it. Something there that's more important. Always. Always. Not here. Not just here. Everywhere. That's what it is. So let's deal with the symptoms. Let's bribe them to come and warm them up and entertain them. I won't do it. Hey, I won't do it. If this book ain't enough to draw you to God's house, put somebody else up here. That's the way I feel about it. If this ain't a draw enough, then you need somebody else because I just don't think that's the way the Lord's church works. I think the draw ought to be the Word of God. And I think when you come, you ought to worship. All right. That was number six. Here's number seven. See, I'm moving pretty good. You know, the saddest verse for me in the Bible, is the one in 2 Timothy 4 that says this, Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. Do you know how many people have done that? Do you know how many times I saw that over the years and see today? Placing the world over the things of God, such as Demas. How we expect to have an impact if we're backslidden? All right. Number seven. A loss of burden for the lost. You know one thing? I love Clarence Shamlin, and I love all my people, really. But I've watched him shed tears over lost people. Feel the tears run down his face. I like it. It's just a sensitivity and a compassion and a care for the unsaved. That the Lord would bring salvation to the soul. Paul wrote in Romans 10 that my heart's in prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. He said, I wish myself were accursed from God if they could be saved. Man, that's a heart's desire. Man, we lose that as a church. Sometimes I fear we've lost it. Compassion for the lost. desire to see him saved. The Bible says, he that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again rejoicing, bringing their sheaves with them. Have you lost the desire to see people saved? Well, we got a radio broadcast now. Well, we got an internet ministry. That's not what caused this church to grow. That's the fruit of this church growing. What caused this church to go? What caused this church to grow was people got concerned about the lost, and they brought people in to hear the message. That's how it grew. The Lord caused it to grow, but people invited people in, and people had prayed for the lost, and that's how it grew. The Lord blessed it. It took a long time, but it did. But by no stretch of the imagination have we arrived. That's what I fear. That's what I fear at the morning. We've arrived. We've not arrived nowhere. We've not arrived. Sometimes, I don't know. I just don't know. Loss of burden for the lost. That's what we need. If we've lost it. Sometimes I just don't know what to say. Those are seven signs of being backslidden. No burden for the lost. Changing of placing of the world over to things of the Lord. Loss of joy. No spiritual sensitivity. You watch and do things that you've never done before. No devotions. Forsaking of the house of the Lord. And a withdrawal from Christian fellowship. Those are seven. If you got one of them, you're backslidden. I should be honest with you. Just one. So I just got one of them. Well, aren't you wonderful? Then you're backslid. We need a change. I think this needs a change. I think the church needs a change. I think we need a revival here. I think we've grown so satisfied with how things have been. You might need a change up here too. I don't know yet. I don't know. I'm not going to say here it's stand here and say that everything's peachy when everything's not. Everything's not. You pray about these seven things. And you look at yourself. Not at me. That starts with you. You know what you need to do? If these things are in there, you need to ask the Lord to heal that. Lord, heal my backsliding. I'm not right. I'm not right at all today. I want to repent. Confess my sins and get back right with you. You want to do that or not? You can do that. Do you know you can do that? You know, as long as you're away from the Lord, the more unhappy, miserable you'll become. But the closer you get, the more happier you'll be. We all know that. I've said it a lot of times. But these things need to change. We need to have a burden for lost again. A closeness. Placing the Lord over the things of the world. We should expect that from our people. Shoot, folks, church membership don't mean nothing anymore to people. I don't even know why you asked for it. I'm just telling you, it don't mean nothing to nobody. Well, not nobody, but a lot of people don't mean anything. It means a lot to me. I've devoted the greater part of my life to this church. This church has been my life's work up to this point. Because I recognize this church as belonging to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the only reason. I never do anything to hurt it. Not willingly. Might do something stupid. Because everybody does something stupid every now and again. But I'd never do anything to hurt it. How about you? How about you? Well, that's the message, and we'll stop with that. Now, we're going to close with a word of prayer. And if the Lord spoke to your heart, then I'm going to ask you, I'm not going to ask you to come forward. I'm just going to ask you to